Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is Autonomy of a Cake Storage Violation. Today's presenter is Paul Albridge. Paul has been a CAKE Level 2 representative for over two decades. He has extensive experience with language environments, CAKE storage layouts, and the COBOL environment. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Paul.
Thank you, Joseph. Hello, everyone. I'm glad you can attend. Today, we're going to be looking at a storage basically CAKE storage violations from a different viewpoint, maybe looking at it at the anatomy level. Joseph, can we move on to FOIL 2? My agenda, or the agenda, is to take a look at the CICS storage layouts for a task or a transaction, how is it laid out, and the information that's in those areas. We're going to be taking a look at CICS, LE, and COBOL control blocks. I like to point out which ones to look at, where to find them. And we're going to cover a little bit on COBOL working storage, along with the COBOL linkage sections. And we're going to go over some diagnostic examples. Now, I got to say that presentation, or all the data in this presentation, was taken from a ZOS 1.12 release and CICS 4.1. And I did not have, on my samples, I did not have Autodist turned on in the SIT or Rua Pool or Tran ISO. Because if I had those on, the storage format layouts are going to radically change. Okay, could we move on to FOIL 3? What we're looking at here is just a storage layout for a task. We've got two programs in there where program A links to program B, and at the point we're in program B, these are the main storage layouts. We have our TCA and SysEIB over on the left. Over the years, I'm finding that they're kind of removed from a lot of storage overlays because of the CICS quick sell mechanism that's used to store off and organize those areas. Then we have the EIUS and user EIB. And then we get into the really good stuff, the user storage. And in the middle of the FOIL, I've got link level 1 for program A. And I've just boxed in the storage areas and what's inside of them. So we have a storage area start at 151.30.0.0.0. And this area is going to contain some LE control blocks. There are thread work area, process control block, or PCB, along with a bunch of other LE control blocks that I have listed there, and COBOL control blocks, but not the working storage area. Right below that, on the box in the center at the bottom, we have our LE control block heap area, and this is where the COBOL working storage is going to reside. Then we've got the same thing for link level 2, and these are COBOL programs linking to each other. And we have basically almost the same format laid out for program B. Again, we've got the LE control blocks in the first block, along with COBOL, and then we have the working storage areas. What I'm finding is that between the handshaking between LE and CICS and COBOL, that the COBOL working storage block, we'll try to get it underneath all the LE control blocks. Can we go to a FOIL 4? One of the main vulnerable areas for overlays with COBOL is the working storage section. And if part of a working storage section or working storage area is passed as a parameter to, say, another COBOL program, that vulnerability is going to still exist. storages kind of look will kind of look like. Starting at 151, 30,000, we have our LE control blocks. And notice that the area ends at 151, 33, able echo 0. Right behind that, here we come with the LE heap and our COBOL working storage area. Second block from the left. And then after that, we have another piece of storage at for program B, starting at 151, 3 Charlie, 0 Echo 0, with LE control blocks, COBOL control blocks. And right behind that, we have a working storage section for program B. You might be thinking, program B's blocks are not in existence when program A is running. Basically, program A hasn't linked to program B yet. So how can these be vulnerable, especially the LE control blocks there at 151, 3 Charlie, 0 Echo 0, third block from the left, and it's working, and program B's working storage? I'm going to get into that a little bit later. Could we move on to slide 5? What I'd like to look at are the KIX control blocks, ones of interest. And once we've found a running task, we can get the task number either from the KIX trace or the kernel. We can get the TCA address from the kernel. Basically, there are many, many ways of accessing this information. This is just an example of one. And once we have that TCA or a task transaction number, we can find the KIX control blocks like the EIUS, EIBs, EIS, general storage layouts in the dump with the AP equal 3 keyword on the CICS formatter. We can also use the transaction number to find what programs were active for that specific transaction, along with how many link levels are involved, i.e., you know, how many programs are involved with it. But it's an important aspect is finding the COM areas also, which are part of the vulnerability. And we can do this with the PTA summary report that's generated with the PG equal 3 keyword. You can format the dump out with PG equal 3. Search on our transaction number. In this case, it's for my sample transaction, it's 00055. And we can get the PTA summary for tran number 00055. There we see program COB link 1. It's at the first link level there at the bottom of the screen, highlighted in red. And it linked to COB link 2, our second link level. The really neat thing about the PG equal 3 keywords was going to give us the COM area address. In this case, it's 151, 3 able, 1 fox 0, and its length. That's really, really good information to have. Okay, can we go to slide 6? Okay, looking at the LE control blocks of interest, I'm finding that the LE data verb exit is great. It's going to format out a lot of the LE control blocks. And I'm finding that certain ones are rather constant. They're going to have eye catchers and they'll be formatted out with LE data. And if they're not formatted or if they can't be formatted out, the LE data formatter will give an error report right there. Now, I'm going to list out some blocks here that are already initialized when the application gains control. And it's useful, and I'm finding it useful in determining how much damage from a storage violation that LE has acquired or received. So we have our CAA, our common anchor area, the EDB. The EDB is the enclave data block, and this is just information to have. A process control block, TCB, the ENSM. It's a storage management block. that organizes the heap anchors, the Hanks, and this is where the COBOL working storage areas are going to reside. Then we have the SMCB, which is another storage management control block that manages the LE stacks. And the and we have the STKH header. This is where the LE and application register save areas or dynamic storage areas are stored off. Now, there's going to be a lot of other blocks in the LE data format that will be formatted out, and you may see some error reports on those. Well, those other ones may not be initialized yet, and I'm finding it's kind of difficult to determine if they're part of the overlay or what their state really is, if they're, you know, basically are they damaged or just not initialized yet. For performance reasons, LE won't initialize out some of these other blocks like the SIB until they're needed. And at last on this foil, I've got the dynamic storage area. Now, these are they're great for additional information using the LE formatted traceback output, but unless you specifically use a DSA followed by a Reg 13 or a DSA address parameter in the LE data verb exit, the DSA traceback is not going to be formatted out in KIX. And we'll always get like an error report there. So if you do format out the LE data verb exit and you go to the, you know, the dynamic storage area or the traceback, and it looks damaged, it's not necessarily damaged. It's just the formatter. Let's move on to slide 7. We've got what the LE data format will start to look like. Now, we don't have an eye catcher for the CAA, but we've got eye catchers for the PCB. They're down towards the bottom of the screen, along with the EDB and the ENSM, the HANK, the SMCB, and the STKH, as I mentioned in the prior foil. And what I'm finding is that if we get format errors on those specific control blocks, LE's been damaged. And what we're doing is just assessing the damage that's happened to language environment if there was damage using the dump formatter. Can we roll to slide 8, please? Moving on to the COBOL control blocks of interest. And these, I'm going to go over what I call anchors. They're already initialized when the application gains control, and you can use them to see how much damage to the COBOL control blocks, like the RUNCOM, the ThreadCOM, the COBCOM, and the CLLE and TGT. If we get format errors in here, if LE has format errors trying to print out these COBOL control blocks, then you know that COBOL also is part has been damaged by the storage overlay. And again, just like we did with LE, we're just trying to assess how much damage was done to COBOL. Can we move on to foil 9? And these are what the COBOL control blocks are going to look like in the format area. We've got our RUNCOM and TGT, CLLE, ThreadCOM. And again, if we see some format errors out here, COBOL is going to be in trouble. Neat thing about the TGT that I've got underlined there at the bottom of the report is the working storage address at offset 114 and the working storage length at 168. And they're underlined there. They're at the bottom in the TGT. We can move on to foil 10. all working storage. For those of you new or system programmers that aren't all that familiar with COBOL, the working storage section is just the place where the application data is stored. It's going to be statically allocated within a heap segment, an LE heap segment, and all that heap segment is just a place to put the working storage area. It's going to exist for the life of the program within the transaction. And just for illustrative purposes, I just wanted to point out the hierarchy of the declarations of 01, 05, 10, 15, and they basically indicate subsections of a higher declaration. As, for an example, the employee table is part of the department record. Department records are an 01, employee table is 05, hence it's part of the department record. And this is just an illustrative purpose from my COBLINK 1 example program. Can we go to FOIL 11, Joseph? Okay. The next important thing about next important section in COBOL is the linkage section. And rather than defining solid real data, the linkage section is used to map the variables and data that's passed to it by another program. And it basically describes the data that was passed by another program. For example, a COM area can be described in the linkage section by the receiving program. COM areas are not alone in COBOL. You can use the application programmers are going to use the linkage section to map out areas like TIOAs, transaction work areas, terminal control user areas, their own specific get mained areas. And again, this linkage section is just wanted to illustrate the hierarchy again. And this is the linkage section for my COBLINK 2 or Program B example. And also note that the linkage section here is defining the department records employee table from COBLINK 1 and a few other additions. Can we go to FOIL 12? Okay, I've got two diagnostic exercises. Just want to make a point. The first one, I just want to make a point about program checks and 4,000 series of bends coming from a language environment. And the second one, I'd like to just review a typical storage violation, where it was discovered, take a look at the pattern, try to find its length, select the addresses of the vulnerable areas that the application uses, like working storage addresses and length, known linkage section addresses and length, and I want to then tie it all together to determine where and why the overlay occurred. FOIL 13, Joseph. So we have a dump. You're looking at it's an OC4, offset of all Fs, in a module called COBLINK 2, the application. And after reviewing the dump, whatever method you want to look at, you know, basically through the kernel, to pick up the PSW and registers, you're finding that the event is actually occurring in CEE PLOD2. And we get an offset of Delta EZZ. From KIX, it's going to be registered as an AP0001, a bend, and the transaction link was running as task number 61. We can get our TCA address out of the dump. Our CAA address will be at offset 194 from the user TCA. We can pick that address up. And we can also get the PSW and registers from the kernel error data. We can also perform an additional diagnostic step to give us a major clue as to what happened. All we know right now is a program check is happening out in language environment. Slide 14. Let's format the dump out with the AP equal 3 keyword and max to the bottom. The kick stump formatter will produce error reports if it finds anything wrong. Or I'd say if the leading and storage trailing counting areas or crumple zones don't match up, we're going to start reporting those. And if we find errors reported in the KIX formatter in the AP domain with AP equal 3, it's going to be highly probable that we got a storage overlay. And that could very well be causing the program check and language environment. And it's pretty easy because all we're doing is letting the KIX formatter do the work for us. So if we find a similar message like this at the bottom of the page on the error message index, where we have two errors, and the pages containing those errors are 81 and 87, we probably got a storage overlay. The dump formatter is trying to tell us something here. Okay, let's slide 15, please. Okay. So we have the AP equal 3 keyword report on the screen. Once we're down at the bottom and find that there are errors, you can do a find space DFH PD previous. And it's going to take you up to the DFH PD messages. Here we have the DFH PD 0125 at the top block, where storage violation detected at 15133 Able Echo 0. We have the trailing storage accounting area has been knocked out. And we have another one where the storage violation detected at 1513 Echo 0 Echo 0, where the leading storage accounting area is knocked out. So now we do have a storage overlay confirmed. But the storage overlay can be diagnosed from the KIX perspective also, along with the program check in LE. Slide 16, please. Okay. The point I want to make is if you find a program check within LE, check the AP domain in KIX for format errors. See if there's any detectable storage violations that stand out. Another way of looking at this is if we have a program check in language environment and we have a storage overlay in KIX, it's highly, highly probable that the LE program checks or the trouble that LE ran into is due to the overlay. Now, KIX is going to have, we have tools like the CSFE storage checker. We have Trace and various methods of pursuing the problem. And you can take this same concept and apply it to any or most of the LE4000 series of bends. See a 4000 series of bend and you have a system dump, look for overlays with the AP equal 3 keyword in the KIX storage checker or the KIX dump formatter. Basically, it's just another way to offer more clues as to what's happening with language environment. Okay, slide 17, please. Okay. The second exercise, we're going to take a look at the same overlay as in exercise one, but we're going to carry it further. We're going to use the LE and COBOL control blocks to uncover the areas that are vulnerable. We're going to be looking at COBOL working storage and COBOL linkage areas. And we're going to also include, you know, anything else that we can find, like COM areas, et cetera, et cetera. And just to gain a better understanding of the overlay and why it occurred. Slide 18, please. Okay, great. We got an SM-102 dump. Storage violation occurred. Trace is not on. Usually in production it isn't. But we still get that exception, trace point. And there it is. We can determine that user storage at 151.3-Charlie-0-Echo-0, data area number 2 in that trace, has its leading storage accounting area overlaid with blanks. The leading storage accounting area is that data area number 3. Note data area 4 is our trailing storage accounting area with our task number of 61. Another interesting point is that the area that it was discovered in is an LE language environment run unit work area. Just a little bit more information to have. Okay. Slide 19. So let's move over to the AP domain. We're moving from the trace to the AP domain. Format the dump out with AP equal 3, max to the bottom. There we find our two errors on pages 83 and 89. So what do we know so far? We've got the leading storage accounting area for the run unit work area at 15.13-Charlie-0-Echo-0 has been overlaid. We got that information from the trace. And we also know we've got two format errors in the AP formatted dump. Slide 20, please. Looking back at the DFHPD messages, just like we did in exercise 1, well, we see our two overlaid areas. And what do we know so far? We know that the leading storage accounting area for the language environment run unit work area has been overlaid with blanks, and we also know that the trailing storage accounting area for the user storage at 15.133-Able-Echo-0 has been overlaid. We got a pattern of blanks, and interestingly, it looks like it's extending from 131-Baker-30-Charlie to 151-3-Charlie-888. That's just the pattern. Let's move on to slide 21. Here's another way of looking at it. Basically, we've got user storage area 1 and user area number 2. The overlay is highlighted in red, where we have the start of the hex blanks or hex 40s all the way down to the end. And it's starting up in area 151.33-Able-Echo-0 and extending down into user area number 2. So there's the pattern of the overlay. Slide 22, please. Okay, we know where the overlay is. We know its extent. Now, let's see if we can determine where it starts realistically in relation to the current program's working storage area. Again, working storage area is going to be vulnerable, so let's go take a look at the current program's working storage. Now, we know our trans number is 61. We can access the TCA from the AP or KE formatted domains in the dump. We find our TCA is at 5FOX700, and the transaction is called link. Again, at offset 194, we can get our language environment common anchor address, and we'll use that for the LE verb exit. So let's go find the working storage area for that current program. We'll format the dump out with verbex LE data with the CAA address, comma, all. We're going to max to the bottom of that the LE data formatted report, and we're going to find a COBOL load list entry, or a CLLE. It's going to give the program's name. In our case, it's COBLINK2, This is where the storage violation was detected. This is where the program check occurred. We're also going to see there the TGT address in that top block. The bottom block, we have our TGT. We can access our working storage address at offset 114. They're underlined, along with its length at offset 68, or WS underscore LEN. And this is in the TGT. Okay. Got working storage address at 151.447.0. But it's beyond the overlay boundaries of the 151.3 Baker 30 Charlie and the 151.3 Charlie 88. What we can say now is the Coblink 2 application working storage area is not involved in the overlay. We've just eliminated Coblink 2. Okay, let's go on to the next FOIL, 23. So what do we know now? We know the overlay and its extent. We know that the current program's working storage area is not involved. Okay, let's dig a little bit deeper. Let's go to FOIL 24. Oh, we still don't know where the overlay originated from, but let's go see if there's another program involved. We know that we got our transaction number is 61, and maybe it was linked to by another program. So let's check the PG. Let's check how many programs are involved with the link transaction with the PG equal 3 keyword. We format the dump out with PG equal 3 with the kick verb exit. We do a find for 00061. And it's going to take us to the PTA summary for that transaction. And there we have our Coblink 1, level 1, passing or linking to Coblink 2, level 2, with a COM area at 151.3able.1fox0, length of 111 Charlie. Okay, so we know the COBOL link 1 linked to COBOL 2 with a COM area. We know where that COM area is and its length. So let's see what that. We also see that the COM area is pointing above the overlay area. Let's move on to slide 25. Take a look at it graphically. Okay, we know where the overlay is and its extent. We know that the current program's working storage area for Coblink 2 is not involved. But now we know that Coblink 1 linked to Coblink 2 with a COM area, and that COM area is right above the overlay. We've got the start of the COM area at 151.3able.1fox0. And with adding its length to its starting address, we come up with an ending address of 151.3 Baker 30 Charlie. And at the end of that COM area, it's interesting, but that's where the overlay begins. Okay, slide 26, please. That COM area looks suspicious. It ends just before the overlay pattern, and then again, it ends just prior to the overlay pattern. But it looks suspicious, but let's be sure. We know the Coblink 1 linked to Coblink 2, and that Coblink 2's working storage is not involved. Let's look at Coblink 1's working storage area. Now, each KIX link level is going to have its own language environment common anchor, CAA. That's going to represent that main COBOL program at that link level. We can access that prior CAA through language environments EDB parent field. Here's how we do that. We format the dump with the LE verb exit using the current CAA from our TCA. Now, this is going to be Coblink 2's CAA because we're at that link level. We're going to do a find for CEE EDB or find EDB. And note that parent address underlined at the bottom of the screen. of 151.37 Echo 58. Now we're ready to format out the LE and COBOL control blocks for COBLINK 1. And this is how you can do it with the Verbex LE data, CAA, 151.37 Echo 58, all. Slide 27, please. Okay. Now we've got our LE Verbex report for COBLINK 1. We max to the bottom, and we find our CLLE representing COBLINK 1. This is just a COBOL load list entry. Just represents that current program, COBLINK 1. We get to our TGT right underneath it, and we can pick up the working storage address, 114.114.151.3able.180. We can pick up the working storage length of 1890. We see that COBLINK 1's working storage. We know where it begins, and we know its length. And we also can see that it starts above the overlay pattern and above the COM area that was passed COBLINK 2. Slide 28, please. So what do we know? Well, the working storage area for COBLINK 1 starts at 151.3able.180, and it's involved since the overlay starts at offset 118 Charlie into it. We also know that COBLINK 1 linked COBLINK 2 with COM area, and that suspected COM area contained part of the COBLINK 1's working storage. Basically, COBLINK 1 just passed part of its working storage in the COM area. And that COM area is going to be defined or mapped in the linkage section for COBLINK 2. Okay, FRIL 29, please. So what we can determine is COBLINK 1's working storage is overlaid. We know a COM area was passed. We don't know for sure whether COBLINK 1 has got its... Basically, has it overlaid its own working storage, or is COBLINK 2 the culprit by mapping the COM area incorrectly in its linkage section? Now, we can find this out by looking at COBLINK 2 and how it maps the COM area by using the COBLINK 2's TGT. And the TGT is comprised of two sections. And I've got one out here for COBLINK 2, and this is just, again, for illustrative purposes, because we're not going to have this in the dump. This is the TGT memory map is going to be coming from the compiled listing of COBLINK 2. So for illustrative purposes, at offset 68 on the TGT memory map, we have the working storage length, 114 working storage address, but we know that already. We want to get down into what we call the variable portion of the TGT. And this is where we're going to find the base locators for working storage and the base locators for the linkage section. And again, I just want to point out the TGT memory map we're not going to have, but we can still look in the dump and map this out. Okay, let's go to 30. Okay, here we go. Base locators for working storage usually starts at offset 12 Charlie into the TGT. And they're going to be addresses used like base registers to access the working storage address. Each address is going to be increasing by 1,000 bytes, just like base registers. And in COBOL, they're known as base locators for working storage, or BLWs. And the addresses are going to provide complete coverage or addressability to that program's working storage area. Okay. The base locators for the linkage section are going to start at the end of the base locators for working storage, or the BLWs. These are known as BLLs, base locators for the linkage section. They're going to be similar to the BLWs in that they're going to act as the base registers recorded in that, or for the linkage section. The BLLs are going to start just after the BLWs, and it depends on how large the working storage area is to determine where those BLLs are going to start. Now, the BLLs will address the data that was passed to the COBOL application. On the exec CICS link, we're going to pass the EIB, always. And if there's a COM area, we'll have that address in there too. And this is going to be, this will be the case for programs that were linked in xKettle too. Now, if these programs were COBOL statically or dynamically called, there's probably not going to be an EIB or COM area address unless they were specifically passed. Now, the BLL addresses are going to start. Here's a key. The BLL addresses are going to start with the EIB and COM area addresses. We have those addresses. We know what the EIB address is from the dump. We also know what the PG equal 3. We know what the COM area address. These two addresses can be used to find the start of the BLLs. If a COM area was not passed, we'll still have that EIB as a delimiter. Okay, and remember, the BLLs are can also address other areas that the application needs, like a transaction work area or a terminal control user area or whatever it needs to address. And you're going to see some patterns down in this linkage area, and the patterns can change depending on how many different areas the application has defined within the linkage section. What does it need to map out? Let's go take a look on page 31. Great. There's a lot of information. But we got the TGT for COBLINK 2 and the LE from the LE data in the dump, say in browse mode, at offset 12 Charlie from the TGT. This is over here on the right hand side. There's the start of the BLWs for COBLINK 2. So working storage, and it looks like it extends down to 15 1 4 echo 7 delta 0. But take a look at that pattern as we go through storage here. Highlighted there with the arrow pointed, we have the 15 1 4 4 7 dog 0, the 15 1 4 5 7 dog 0, 15 1 4 6 7 dog 0, et cetera, et cetera. That pattern of increasing addresses of hex 1000 will cover COBLINK 2's working storage area until we hit zeros. That's at 15 1 4 2 6 7 8. We have a word of zeros. There's where the BLWs are going to stop. Now, just below those BLWs, we're going to have our EIB address. Again, we pulled this from the dump from earlier diagnostics, the 1400.0, and it's going to be followed by the COM area address, which we have from the PG equal 3 of 151.3able1fox0. And that's how we can find the start of the linkage section. Again, we're going to be, this is a variable portion of the TGT, but we really don't need that TGT map in the compiled listing for COBLINK 2, because we now have a method of following the working storage area to its end. We see the patterns, the address pattern stop, a new one begins. We can confirm it with the EIB address, and if we have a COM area, we can confirm it with the COM area address. Let's go take a look at what COBLINK 2 defined in the linkage section to map that COM area. Okay, here's our COM area there at the bottom, starting at 151.3able1fox0, and we have 151.3baker1fox0, 151.3charlie1fox0. We've got three DLLs. Each one's incrementing by 1,000 bytes. All those addresses are going to be accessing the COM area. Slide 32. we know. The working storage area for COBLINK 1, we know where that starts, 151.380.180. is involved since the overlay is starting in COBLINK 1's working storage area. We also know that part of that working storage area was passed as a COM area. We also know that COBLINK 2 linkage section has defined that COM area larger than what was passed. COBLINK 2's COM area definition is incorrect, and it's a safe bet that COBLINK 2 did the damage. Now we know that the COM area that was passed had a length of 111 Charlie. We found that through the program domain or the PG equal 3 format. That will take at most 2 BLL cells to address, but we've got 3. The COM area defined in COBLINK 2's linkage section per the BLL address is the 151.3 Able 1 Fox 0, Baker 1 Fox 0, Charlie 1 Fox 0. And remember that the BLLs and BLWs are just basically used as base regs, and that the BLLs can also address other areas defined in COBLINK 2's working storage, but we don't have that in this scenario because we only had one pattern out there of 3 addresses following the COM area, and they were contiguous. We know where the overlay starts of hex 40s, we know where it ends, and we know that third BLL address at the bottom over on the right-hand side of 1513 Charlie, 1 Fox 0, can map all the way down to 1513 Delta 1 Fox 0, and there's our end of our overlay of 1513 Charlie 88. That's that third BLL cell. Looks like it's got a lot of involvement in the overlay in this particular scenario. Let's go to slide 33. So it's looking like COBLINK 2 has overlaid COBLINK 1's working storage area. We have proof that COBLINK 2 has defined a COM area much larger than what it was sent. In the end result, we've got a program check in LE's loader code from example 1, and SM0102, storage violation from example 2. What we did was we used the KIX, LE, and COBOL control blocks to look at the overlay in greater detail. The AP domain was used to map the overlay and access the LE CAA, and the KIX PG domain was used to access how many link levels and COM areas were involved. Then we moved on to LE, and with the LE data format, we could find the COBOL CLLEs and associated TGTs for the application environment. And we also found the EDB so that we can totally map out the CAAs for the application environment for each link level. And it gave us pinpoint diagnostics without looking at a trace, which may not be available in a production environment, without relying on the CSFE storage checker, which usually can't be run in production, and without looking at the applications. Basically, the more you know about a storage overlay, the better off you are. And I'm finding that this is working in some critical situations where tools aren't available and the extra diagnostic tools within KIX can't be used. And I'm also finding that just finding, you know, like offsets within working storage areas can help out the application folks. Where the overlay pattern starts usually helps out the application folks and gives them a little bit more information. And again, the more information we have, the better off we are. Slide 34. Okay, for additional information, Scott McClure has got a presentation of debugging storage violations and kicks. That's basically using the trace and primarily from the kicks point of view. I've got an old presentation of looking at COBOL working storage within the kicks environment. We've got the kicks 4.1 info center and the problem determination guide. And the language environment debugging guide's got some good clues in there too. Okay, Joseph.
Thank you, Paul, for a great presentation. At this point in time, Frank, we would like to open the line for questions.
I have no questions at this time.
Thank you, Frank. At this time, we will conclude the presentation.